We're going to talk about respect. And let me tell you something. Our world is begging for respect to come back. You look at the hatred, the violence, the ill will that is in the hearts of so many today. That is not respect. But you know what I want us to understand today? I can't do anything about what goes on in Turkey, France, the Middle East, but I should be able to do something about what goes on in this congregation among my brethren. But you see, so many times today, we are allowing the world to influence even our appreciation of this word, respect. There is no way that you can come up to me and introduce yourself to me and say, now you respect me. You can tell me that, but respect is something earned. I think I have a good son-in-law. I feel like that from watching him in regard to being married to my daughter for all of these years, he has earned my respect. But now the first time that I met him, I probably didn't respect him the way that I do now because he had not earned my respect. And it's the same way among brethren. You let somebody new come into the congregation, and it takes a little bit of time for us to get acquainted with that individual, see what kind of a Christian that they are, but they can quickly earn our respect. You cannot buy respect. You can't go to Hayes and go in there and say, I want to buy $50 worth of respect. You can't buy it. And I'm going to say this, you can't borrow it from someone. I can't go to Jeff and say, Jeff, I want to borrow some respect from you. Jeff can't do that. It is earned. And it applies to each and every one of us. Now, we have used this definition throughout, I think, everybody's presentation. Respect is something manifested or shown to those worthy. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you worthy of my respect? Do you show yourself to be worthy of my respect? By how you live? By your example? By how you conduct yourself? And I'm talking about, even though there are visitors here with us today, and we're thankful that you're here, I'm talking about the brethren here at Village Creek. Do you want to be respected by your brethren? Do you want there to be this feeling in this congregation of that we respect one another? Do we respect one another as brethren? I can't answer that for everybody that goes to church here at Village Creek. I can't. I may have an idea. But deep down in your heart, you know the answer to this as it applies to you. Do we respect one another as brethren? The church is a spiritual family, and we are brothers and sisters in Christ. I have told the brethren here many times, I never had a fleshly brother or sister, but I have got a multitude of spiritual brothers and sisters. I don't have a fleshly brother or sister that I can depend upon, but I have spiritual brothers and sisters that I can depend upon. And you have proved that to me over and over, time and time and time again. And it touches my heart. And it makes me know what kind of people are members of this congregation. Because of this, we should conduct ourselves to be worthy of one another's respect. Do you? Is that the way you conduct yourself In 1 Peter 2 and verse 17, one of the sections of that scripture says, love the brotherhood. Now you understand what he's saying there? He said, you brethren who are members of the body of Christ, I want you to love one another. Now you think about that. Now watch this. It is hard to love as we should without proper respect for one another. If I do not respect Mike, it's hard for me to love him. But when I respect him, and Mike has earned my respect, I know how hard it was for him to do what he did today. But he did an excellent job. I love him because he's earned my respect. And brethren, that's what this is all about. James wrote, telling us not to be partial in our respect for one another. Open your New Testament and let's read some verses in James 2, beginning in verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. He said, don't do that. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him? But if ye have despised the poor, do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? Now watch this. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. There should not be partiality in the Village Creek Church of Christ. I should not respect one member over another. Now, I've said this a lot of times. We ought to try to the very best of our ability to treat one another just exactly the same. And sometimes that's hard. Some people are harder to get close to than others. Some of my brethren maybe don't have the same likes and dislikes that I do. And there are others that do. It's hard for me not to be drawn to spend more time with those that I have things in common with. But I cannot disrespect my brethren. When I do that, I sin, and I cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Remember, clothes do not make one Christian better than another. You know that. Just because we have somebody come in here in a fine suit of clothes, and they occupy a seat in our assembly, and there comes in one that maybe does not have the means to have a suit of clothes, but they're wearing the best that they've got, their soul is just as good as that person in that fine suit of clothes, and in the sight of God, their soul is just as important as that individual in the fine clothes. And we are to treat them alike. Do we do it? Do we? Money, possessions, social standing does not attain respect. I want you to think about that. Just because you've got a lot of money, don't come in here at Village Creek and say, we're going to put you up above the rest of the congregation If we do that, we're wrong. Just because someone owns a lot of property and we know that they are well heeled for money in regard to what they have, we're not going to let them take over this congregation. That's not right. And social standing. You may be the elite of Paragould, Arkansas, but in the sight of God, you're just a soul. Just a soul. And we're going to try to treat one another alike the best that we can. The beggar of Luke 16 had nothing, but he had God, didn't he? He didn't have anything else, but he had God. Would you trade place with the beggar and take the rich man's position? I wouldn't, and you wouldn't either. We don't operate that way, do we, brethren? As brethren, we should look at the inner man and not the outward man. Do you do that? Are you looking on the inside and the fruit that I am bearing? My attitude toward my brethren, how I conduct myself, that tells you what kind of a heart that I have. That's what you look at. You're looking at the inner part of me. In Proverbs 20 and verse 29. Now, we're going to change horses here in the middle of the stream. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. The last 5.5 weeks, I hadn't been able to stand up. And so guess what? I've been having to shave using Sharon's makeup mirror set down. And let me tell you something. I got a good look at myself up close, and I said, Sharon, where have all these gray hairs come from? And she said, honey, you've had them gray hairs so long. I said, I didn't know it. But you see what Solomon says? The beauty of old men is the gray head. We should respect our older members for their years of service to the Lord, for their knowledge, and also their maturity. Let me tell you something. I have learned a considerable amount of knowledge and maturity from watching the gray heads that have been in this congregation since I came in 2004. I could just name one elderly member after another that has influenced me, and I don't want that to stop. And they have earned my respect. I respect them as my brethren, and I respect their maturity, their knowledge, and what they have endured in the past. Do we practice this here at Village Creek? I want all of you to think about that. Do we? Do we respect our older members in this congregation as we should? Paul wrote the importance of showing proper respect of the elderly brothers and sisters. Paul wrote about it. He said, you respect those older members of the church. Look in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 50. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young, this will destroy a nation where there ceases to be proper respect for its older citizens. When the day comes that the United States of America, and it could happen, says at the age of 75, we're just going to do away with you. We have too many people to feed, and when you get 75, that's going to be the end of you. We'll take your life. Could happen. But that's not what God wants. God says you respect that gray head. You respect that maturity. In Leviticus 19 and verse 32, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. The face of the old man. When I look in the mirror today, I see more and more of my dad coming out in my facial features. My dad didn't get to live to be an old man. He died when he was 62. And I miss him every day. But I see the changes that are taking place in my face and in my body. Why is that? I'm getting old. Getting old. My mother will soon be 95. And let me tell you something. You talk about somebody that has changed. And you know, if I live, that's what will happen to me. But I don't ever expect to live to be that age. These old people get on my nerves and I just can't handle it. You ever said that? Oh, I wish that old man would just hush. You ever said that? You ever thought that? What does God think about that attitude? Now, I'm going to be honest with you today. Sometimes older members can get on a person's nerves, but they've earned it. They've earned it. And I say that as sincere as I can say it. They've earned it. And we may have to give them a little more time, and we may have to be a little bit more patient, but so be it. So be it. Unless you die first, you're going to get old. You take your choice. You can die young, you will never have to worry about any of this. But now if you live, you're going to get old. And things are going to change. And you're not going to be the same person that you were at one time. And we need to think about that. We are getting older every day. And I see the changes that take place with the hand of Father Time. How do you want to be treated? If you could stand up before the congregation in the morning and tell the congregation, this is how I want to be treated here at Village Creek, what would you say? You know, I've thought about that a lot. If we gave every member the opportunity to get up behind that pulpit and say, now, brethren, here's how I want you to treat me. Can you imagine some of the answers that we would get? I can tell you what God says. God says you treat one another the best that you can. You be patient with one another. You be understanding of one another. You love one another. And you try to help that brother or sister go to heaven. Third part, do you respect your fellow man? Now, what I'm about to say, I think you pretty well know this, but I have a lot of good friends that are not members of the church. I'm convinced that I could call them at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, hey, I need you to come over here. So-and-so's happened and I need you. There's not a doubt in my mind they'd be there. They're not my brother or sister in Christ, but they'd be there. You think I don't respect them? You better believe I do. No, they're not my brother and sister in Christ. I'm going to do everything I can to try to take them to heaven by teaching them, but I respect them. No matter the color of their skin, I am very discouraged by all that's going on in our country today over the color of a person's skin. Brethren, we're better than that. I couldn't say this, but in this audience here I can. I have never been around that many Afro-American people. Where I have lived the bulk of my life, there just weren't any. Now, I've had some that chopped cotton for me and had a wonderful relationship with them. They were always as respectful to me as they could be. But I can tell you one thing, to be a child of God, we cannot look down upon people of color. They've got a soul just like we do. And we respect that. And we try to teach them just like I would try to teach a white Caucasian. You think that God does not want them to be saved? Sure He does. The red man, the brown man. The gospel is for all. And they are worthy of my respect. Do we have a right to disrespect our neighbor that we may disagree with? A few years ago, my mother and dad came home one day, and there was a survey steak. Well, it actually wasn't a survey steak. It was just a steak that was in the middle of their property. And an individual had inherited some property, and he decides that part of my dad's property was his. And it was hard to ever get that situation worked out until we had it surveyed. And then he had to pick his little piece of wood up and go on about his business. Now, did that give me the right to be disrespectful to him? Because I felt like that he was trying to take advantage of my mother and dad? How am I supposed to treat that man? Am I going to treat that man the way I'm going to treat Jeff? Or the way I'm going to treat Mike? No. They're my brethren. They're not going to do that to me. Now, people out in the world of sin, I can't always uphold what they do, can you? Just like the things that have been said by the previous speakers, even what Nolan said about the home. I see so many things today that are going on in a lot of people's homes that are sickening to me. A lot of these teachers that we have here at Village Creek, they could tell you horror stories about the kind of environments that a lot of kids are being raised in today. Filth. Doing without. No parenting. No love shown. Is that how we respect one another? You know, a lot of men want to be a father, but they don't want to be a father. They want the pleasure of being a father, but they don't want to be a father. They're not going to fool with raising that boy or that girl. Is that respecting that child? And you know where most of the time those children end up being a blight on society because they've never been taught? What do we do about that, brethren? What do we do about that? What are we going to do about that here in America today? Do we respect these people that do these things? I appreciate the things that were said today about men and women living together and homosexuality. I'm not going to respect that. Nolan, they may take you and I to jail, and so be it. I'm not going to sit back and be silent about homosexuality. It is a sin. And I don't care if Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or anybody else says that it's all right. It is not all right in the sight of God. And the question is, are we going to have the courage to stand by the Lord? Stand therefore. Or are we going to be weak and just try to back off and don't agitate? Let's just try to slip by this the best way that we can. No, we can't do that. Brethren, our society today is in such shambles. Our young people have got the wrong heroes. Our young people today are being torn in so many directions. There was a commercial came on television yesterday. And I'm not even going to divulge what it was. I told Sharon, I said, that's pure filth. Pure filth in a commercial. And you know what? That's what our young folks are being exposed to. But it goes even further than that. That's what we're being exposed to. Do you respect those people that are trying to tear us down and lead us astray and do everything that they can to take God out of our society? I can't do that. It is hard for me to respect these people that are so adamant about their rebellion before God. How about the Good Samaritan of Luke 10? This Good Samaritan did what two others would not. Here comes a priest by. Here's this man that's been beaten and robbed and left on the side of the road, blood streaming. What's he do? Oh, I'm not going to get blood on me. He goes around him. Well, I don't know what he's done. I'm not going to fool with him. But here comes a Levite. He does the same thing. And you know, the story was, there was nothing good that came out of Samaria. Here came a Samaritan. And he sees that man. What did he do? Did he walk around him? No. No. What did he do? He ran up to him and started trying to help him. Got him on his animal and took him in to an inn and said, now you care for this man. I'm going to leave some money and I'll be back. And if I've not left enough, I'll pay the rest of it when I come back. I want him taken care of. Now that's respect. Do you do that? Do you respect the people that you ought to be respecting today who are not your brethren? Are you respecting them? Let me tell you something, brethren. There are some good, moral people. Now, I understand that they're going to have problems when the Lord comes back. But they're good, moral people. And they believe the same principles that I believe in regard to right and wrong. They're confused in regard to their worship. Yes, I respect them. I do. I understand that that respect does not go as far as it does to my brethren. But I respect them. I have no right to mistreat them. Plain and simple. He helped. Now, I want you to think with me this morning. Think in your mind, when is the last time that you went out of your way to help someone? Come on now. Think about it. The last time that you went out of your way to help somebody. I don't care if it was to pick them an apple pie. I don't care if it was to go and say, I notice your yard's getting kind of large. Is your lawnmower broke down? Could I help you in regard to that? Would you do that? What if it was someone that was in need financially? Oh, you're not my brother. I'm sorry. I hate that you're in the shape that you're in, but I got to have my money. Or would you have a little bit of compassion and give them a little bit of money? Or give them a job and let them work to earn a little bit of money? Would you do that? Brethren, God has expectations for us. With our brethren, with our elderly, and with our fellow man. Our fellow man. You know, what I get to thinking about sometime, I didn't choose my mother and dad. I didn't choose where I was born. I didn't choose the environment that I was raised in. And thanks be to God that I was raised in the environment that I was, that I had the mother and dad that I did. And I had the teaching that they gave me. But you know what? I could just as easily today be a Baptist, a Methodist, Presbyterian. What if that's what they had taught me? And I would have been like so many are today. Hey, my mother and daddy's not going to lead me astray. But thanks be to God, that didn't happen to me. But it happens to so many. And I'll tell you one thing. We have baptized several people here at Village Creek over the last few years that came out of denominational bodies and were baptized into the body of Christ, became men and women of God. And you know what? They have my utmost respect. Many times, it costs them their family. Oh, if you're going to be a member of the Church of Christ, and we're going to the Baptist Church, and that's where we've always went, I don't think we need you coming around. Now, that'd be tough, wouldn't it? But I guarantee you it happens. It happens. What means the most to you? Saving your soul or your family? I don't believe there's a person in this building today that loves their family any more than I do. But I cannot let my family stand in the way of my doing right with God because I want to go to heaven. That's where I am making preparations to go. And if I can keep my senses, I'm not going to let anybody stand in the way of my going to heaven. And you know what? I want to take a truckload with me. There are people that I stand before every Sunday that are lost. And I am doing everything I can to try to convert them. And I still haven't got the job done yet. Nolan converted a man that I loved dearly, that I never could convert him. I tried everything in the world. And I left Kennett with a broken heart because he was not a member of the church and Nolan baptized him. Praise God, Nolan. And now then, he is a member of the church. And he is as fine a man as ever walked on two legs. Guarantee you he is. And I respect him. And I think his biggest problem was his family. And I see that happen over and over and over again. Would we be the Good Samaritan? I don't know. Oh, I could sit here on this stool and say, oh yeah, I'd help anybody. But if the opportunity presents itself, would I? Remember what James said? He said, you see your brother or sister in need, and you say, oh, that's terrible. I see you need clothes, and I see you need this, and then say, I feel sorry for you, and just walk off. Is that respect? Is that how we respect one another? No. That's not what my Bible teaches. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Galatians 6 and verse 10. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You've had opportunities to do good to people who were just your neighbor. Maybe just a friend, maybe an acquaintance, maybe somebody you worked with. Did you do it? As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. There it is. But he said, especially your brethren. Especially your brethren. And I wonder about that sometimes. If we are not becoming more cold-hearted and we forget about what a beautiful word respect is. say this. I respect Kirk for the job he did this morning in presenting what he said so plain. Same thing with Mike. Same thing with John. Same thing with Noah. I know where their heart is. And you see, that's how I want you to treat me. When I first came to East Main, there are lessons that I present now that I would not have dared present when I first came. And you know why? Because I didn't have your respect yet. But if I've not got it now, if I can't sometimes really step on your toes and you take it and go by me and shake my hand, then we got a problem. Because I'm going to tell you, brethren, that's how much I love you. That if I see grass growing in your field, I'm going to try to tell you you need to get it out. And if I don't do that on the day of judgment, the Lord's going to say, you didn't respect those people as you should have. And you watered her down. And you wanted to be popular rather than just preaching the gospel of Christ. Well, I'm under pressure. You are too. The elders of this congregation have to make hard decisions sometimes. And they'll be held accountable for those decisions on the day of judgment. You know, you think it would do me any good in the morning to get up and tell the congregation here that I am very disappointed that all of you didn't come to Vacation Bible School? You think that'd do any good in the morning? Because the people that are not here made a choice. And their choice was they had other things to do. But we're here. And I'll guarantee you my back is killing me, but I'm here. And I'll be here tomorrow. Lord willing, I'll be sitting right here in this chair presenting two lessons tomorrow. And I'm not patting myself on the back. That's not my intent. What I'm trying to say is, brethren, we do what we want to do. That's what we do. And some people think that they're going to slide into heaven. Nope. Some people think that they can do just a little bit and go into heaven. Nope. It's not what my Bible says. My Bible says, you put me first. Matthew 22:37. God first. Now the people today that had rather be fishing, had rather be squirrel hunting, had rather be playing golf, had rather be doing 1,001 other things, they made a choice. They made a choice. But we're here, and I have enjoyed it. And I praise God that we have done our job today in fulfilling our responsibility.